You are listening to Sunday morning service at Unity of Tustin. Unity of Tustin is a vibrant spiritual community committed to individual and collective awakening through sacred teachings and practices, one God, one heart, many paths. Now, Reverend Clive Delaporte.
Let's come together in the holy ground of prayer and welcome each and every shining, vibrating, happy soul here today. Join me in prayer. Thank you, God, for this opportunity for us to open the hearts of the sanctuary of our soul to each other in the celebration of life and love and divine light today. We embrace this moment, we embrace each other, and we embrace this community in your grace and in your goodness. May we come into a deeper understanding of just how great you are and how great the experience of life can be for each one of us. Thank you, God, and so it is. Amen. A heartfelt thank you from me to all the musicians today for sharing their gifts and blessing us with music. Thank you, one and all. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is very, very, very nice to see you all again. Thank you for blessing us with your presence and participation in our Sunday service. I was saying at the earlier service that I just got here and now it's time for me to go. And what's with that? So I'll be back once a month and then in November full time, but you guys are already in my heart and I'm feeling a little bit of mourning at the sense of getting on a plane and flying out tomorrow. But I will see you soon, and until then, you will be in my heart and in my prayers. Today I am going to talk to you, continuing what we spoke about on Sunday last week, and that the theme for these two Sundays is that we are exploring the divine principle and practice of releasing and receiving, bringing resolution to what is past, bringing reception to what is in the present, and renewing ourselves for what is our better, next, and best. Today's talk is entitled, This Is Now. Last week was That Was Then. Okay? One of the things that we are gifted in our living in the now is the power of choice. The opportunity that choice gives us to connect with divine presence, to connect with divine power, to explore the infinite potential and possibility that God, in whatever form we believe God to be, brings into our lives. And so I call that moment the divine now, because it's pregnant with potential and possibility. And each one of us, through the power of choice that's been given to us, has the option and the ability to connect with it. Many years ago, way back in the early part of my spiritual awakening, I was troubled by a very personal question. The question was, who am I? Who am I? I find myself back then at a crossroad in my life, and I was looking for clarity as to my place and my purpose in life. I was hoping to rediscover a passion and a power for living, a way forward that gave me meaning and motivation. It wasn't long after I was entertaining this question that a dream started to come to me. And in this dream, I found myself in a room which seemed like an interview room or maybe an interrogation room. Yeah. Which is why I'm now in America. No skeletons in this closet. The room was typical movie scene interrogation, formica table, plastic chairs, styrofoam, half-filled coffee cups, ashtray full of cigarette butts, and on the other wall was the proverbial one-way mirror. As I sat in the room, in my dream state, taking this in, I became aware of a presence on the other side of the mirror. And the captivating thought that came to me, who is it? Who is on the other side of that mirror watching me, observing me? This dream went on for months. And then one day, I awoke to the realization, I'm on the other side of the mirror. I am the one, the eternal me, the immortal me, the sacred self me, is the one watching me having an unfolding conscious experience of this thing called earth life, earth me, human me, as I explore my being and my becoming of the thing I already am. Yes? And that blessed me with a tremendous sense of what I call nowness, an awareness and appreciation and a gratitude for every single moment of life and the divine gift that I get, which is why it's called the present. The present. Yes? Did you know that? It's called the present because it's a gift. And we're supposed to be using our present moments to explore ourselves, our lives, our connection with each other, and the unfolding potential and possibility of which God is our source and supply. Here's a quote from a somewhat obscure and unknown writer, Clive de la Porte. For now, that is. All and everything, whether past or future, is present in the eternal and infinite now. It is in the now that we release what is past, receive what is present, and explore the promise of what is next, better, and best. Think about that. Can you go back to the past? No. Can you go forward to the future? No. But in the eternal, infinite, divine now, what is past, what is present, and what is future are all together in the sacred divine dance, asking you to choose what is it that you want to release, to choose what is it that you want to receive, and to choose what is it that you want to seed to come into harvest in the future of your life. We have power in the divine now, and that power is the power to choose. Oprah Winfrey, a far more accomplished and well-known person, understand that the right to choose your own path is a sacred privilege. Use it well and dwell in possibility. God comes to us in a consciousness of infinite potential and possibility, asking us to choose what we desire to seed into that fertile soil, that we might bring into our lives and into the world that which is good, to choose what is right, better, best, and good. There was a reporter in a small town in Ohio who worked the crime beat at a local newspaper. And one day he became aware, of the story of Frank Truly. Frank Truly was, unfortunately, a habitual thief and fraud and guilty many times of related crimes. And Frank Truly had just been sentenced to another term of incarceration. And this writer knew of Frank and decided that he wanted to do a piece on his life. And so he called up the holding facilities and asked if he could come down and have an interview with Frank, and Frank agreed to this. While he was interviewing Frank, he became aware of something that he did not know, and that Frank's father had walked a similar path in life, that Frank had grown up in a home where the father was also habitually crime-related activities and incarcerated from time to time. In his closing of the interview, the reporter said to Frank, "Having this person as your father, growing up in that household, how did that affect your life?" And Frank, in a moment of truth, said, "In every way possible. It determined who I became, and it determined how my life turned out. I had no other choice." A sad moment. The reporter returned to his office and, while writing up the piece on Frank, decided to do some background on the story. And he was amazed to find that Frank actually had a twin brother that Frank had not mentioned in the interview. He tracked down the twin brother and told the twin brother what he was doing and requested an interview and was granted one. And to his surprise, when he went to this interview, he found himself downtown in a very affluent part of the city. And when he showed up at the brother's workplace, he was introduced to a general manager of a thriving IT consulting business who was happily married with two wonderful kids on their way to college. This was intriguing to him. At the end of the interview with the twin brother, he said to the twin brother, "Having grown up in the home that you did with the father you had, how do you think it affected your life?" And the twin brother said, "In every way possible." In every way possible. It affected who I was, who I became, and it affected the life choices that I made. I had no other choice. Yes? Do we get it? Good. One used it to make choices that turned out in circumstances that might not have been representing their highest good. Another chose a different path. We have this power. It is never too late in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in life to reorientate ourselves, to reconnect with what is divinely true, right, and good, to call on God to intervene, to do an intervention in our lives, to reorientate ourselves towards principles and values and ideals that serve us, each other, and the greater good of humanity. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Once you make a decision, the universe conspires to help make it happen." That sounds exciting. Except for those decisions that are not such great decisions. I saw a posting on a Facebook friend's wall the other day that said, "I got to get out of bed. Those bad decisions are not going to make themselves today." They're going to need a little help. God wants what is good for each and every one of us. In the blessing of our individual goodness and in the sharing of that blessing, we find our collective and community goodness. And then as a community, as we are filled with what is good, we go out into the world and we make our contribution to the collage of humanity and all the good that desires to be. I bought a new car once. It was a growing experience for me. I did some research, checked my budget, what could I afford, took into account my lifestyle, outdoorish, sporty, I needed space. I decided to buy a van. If you have some jock guy friends and you're a man, buying a van is a growth experience. They'll put you through it every single day. Oh, you dropped your lipstick. I did okay. But here was the wonderful experience that I had, demonstrating to me the power of choice, the power of decision. The moment I knew what I wanted, having done research, looking at a few different options, knowing my budget, I went out and I picked a Kia van. I decided that's the one that I want. And this is the color that I want. And now I'm going to go and find the best deal that I can find. Do you know what happened? From that moment, that van showed up every single place I was. If I turned a corner, there was a Kia van, a white Kia van there. Around the next corner, another one. I'd never seen these vans before. One of two things had happened. Either the universe had suddenly manufactured instantly and manifested thousands of Kia vans and placed them strategically so just I could see them, or they'd always been there. I'm guessing that they'd always been there. And when I'd gone through the process of aligning myself with the clearness of the desire of what I was looking for and aligning it with what was true, right, and good, my awareness opened and awakened to something that was already there. And this is what happens to us. When we take time to live in the infinite potential and possibility of the divine now, we will find, if we choose, that all we desire and want and need is already here. Packaged, prepared, fully, freely available to each and every one. If we cooperate with God and invite the clarity of knowing what we want. James Allen said, and he wrote this in the early 1900s, so when he says man, he's talking about humanity, and that includes all of us. Man is made or unmade by himself. By the right choice, he ascends as a being of power, intelligence, and love. As a being of power, intelligence, and love, and the Lord of his own thoughts, he holds the key to every situation in life. The power of choice is the power of how we move forward, releasing what is past, claiming resolution, receiving what is present, and renewing ourselves for what is next, better, and best. And so I know what you're asking yourself. I can read your collective consciousness. You're asking yourself, so, what has love got to do with this? Yes? Let's start there. What has love got to do with this? If we choose love as our first things first choice, if we choose love as our guiding principle, if we choose love as our guiding value, if we choose love as our guiding ideal, we are opening the floodgates. The heavens will open, and grace and good will surely fall upon us. In your exploring of the opportunity of the divine now and its infinite potential and possibility, I encourage you, before all things, to choose love. Love is an acronym. Did you know that? L-O-V-E. Listen, observe, validate, empower. Love in our heart opens our ears to listen for what is true, right, and good. Opens our eyes to observe what is true, right, and good. Opens our heart to validate what is true, right, and good. And opens our hands to empower what is true, right, and good. Love is the way we release what is past for ourselves and for each other, and individually, collectively explore what is our next, better, and best. I have some friends in Chattanooga, Tennessee. They're from South Africa. We've got some South Africans here. I have to tell you how blessed. There they are, misbehaving as usual. I have to tell you, Vanessa's like, that's not me. I have to tell you how blessed I am to find some South Africans in our community. When I was 16 years old, I met a family from South Africa. I'm sorry, I was older. I was 20. I was in my early 20s. They were Seventh-day Adventists that lived on the same street as me. I had a spiritual awakening in my early 20s and lived in a family that we didn't talk about God. We didn't know about God. We went to weddings and funerals, and that was about it. And I read a book that said, God is alive and well on planet Earth. And I went down the road, and I knocked on the door, and I said to these people, can you tell me about God? And they embraced me and into their home, into their faith, Seventh-day Adventists, and into their community. And so for a while, I was a practicing Seventh-day Adventist. One of the treasures of the Seventh-day Adventist faith is the Sabbath, the Shabbat, the closing of the week, the opening of the Sabbath, a beautiful ceremony that they do in their own unique way, and that we will visit as a community, revisit as a community when I'm here full time. They moved to America. Seemed like all the South Africans were coming to America. They came to America, and we lost touch. And then in 1996, I sold a business in Cape Town, South Africa, and went traveling. My plan was to take off 2 years and just see the world. I hadn't seen the world. I went straight from my military training to college and then into business, into corporate and then into my own individual business. And so I took 2 years to travel and found myself in 1998 in the U.S., in Atlanta. People always ask me, why Atlanta? And I said, well, that's where the plane lands. You know, it was a very well thought out plan. So I'm living in Atlanta. I buy a used car. I'm renting an apartment. I'm on a tourist visa, which means I've got 6 months, and then I have to leave. But I'm driving up the East Coast, visiting all these big East Coast cities that I'd seen in the movies in South Africa.
Yes.
And one day I get invited to go to a music festival in Chattanooga, Tennessee, an hour and 45 minutes north of Atlanta. Riverbend Music Festival. It goes on for a whole week. It's a really fun thing if you're ever in that area. I'm walking down Frazier Avenue in the Arts and Crafts District, and I bump into this family from South Africa. And they're the reason I'm here today. They invited me to come and work for the Seventh-day Adventist Church, running a business office first and then a health food store for them. And they sponsored my green card. And that's how I came to be here today with you. The first thing we started doing was keeping Sabbaths together. The very first Sabbath lunch we had together, the conversation at the table was, the toaster is broken. South Africans love toast. The toaster is broken. We can't have toast for lunch. I said, I'll fix the toaster. Everybody at the table, unanimously, as if it had been rehearsed, said, no. Don't touch the toaster. I said, what do you mean? You break everything. I hadn't seen these people in 15 years. I said, I break everything? Yes. When you and Magda, that's the eldest daughter, were playing in the church volleyball team, you bumped Magda and her glasses fell off and she landed on them and broke the glasses. Don't touch the toaster. Do you see what we do? Right? One thing. A lifetime ago. And now I break everything. Love is how we help release what is past. Love is how we help renew what is present. And love is how we open our heart like an unfolding flower to the rays of God's grace and good, how we step forward into the future. Love is the essence of the power of choice in claiming what is next and best for us. And love will guide us, divinely wise, into a greater unfolding. It is our liberation. It is our gift. It is our connection to what is present and what is our future. The seed of love, sown in a willing, fertile heart, produces a tree of life and a harvest of good. The seed of love, sown in a willing, fertile heart, produces a tree of life and a harvest of good. Love in your heart opens your eyes to see love, opens your mouth to speak love, opens your hands to give love, and opens your life to receive love. It is love in your heart that opens you to the opportunity for love and loving kindness in everyone, everything, all the time. My prayer today for you and for me and for us as a community, until I see you again, is that you choose to explore the infinite potential and possibility of the divine now, choosing love to guide you, releasing what is past, receiving what is present, and preparing for the better, the best, and the next that is yet to come. Thank you, God. Huh? And so it is.
Unity of Tustin is supported through your generous tithes and love offerings. To support Unity of Tustin online, please click the donate button on our homepage. Thank you for listening.